When I was a little kid, the Rock of Ages song, I didn't know what the word cleft was, so I thought it was clap. And so I thought it was Rock of Ages, clap for me. So, there. All righty. Well, we are beginning part two of Joshua. Last week was Joshua the Assistant. And we were looking at all throughout Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where Joshua shows up and how he is being trained and getting ready to be the leader. And then finally, the Israelites get to the border. Moses has been gone. He's out at the top of Mount Nebo. Not elbow, but Nebo, and he looks over, he sees the promised land. He is no more, he dies, God buries him, and so now after they have grieved and mourned the life of Moses, they go, well, what do we do now? And this is Joshua 1 verse 1, 1 verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is the end of an era. The Moses era is over. And he says in Joshua 1, verse 2, therefore the time has come for you to lead. It's all built up to this point, Joshua. You have been an assistant. You have learned how to be a warrior. You have learned how to be a worshiper. You are the guy that lingers in the presence. You are the guy who was halfway up the mountain. You weren't down the mountain, Joshua, when Aaron and all the others are making the golden calf. Joshua, you are the one who is sitting by the outskirts of the tent. We saw all these pictures, and hopefully these are the mental images that we hang our hat on when we think about these Bible stories. Now all of a sudden we go, oh yeah, I remember when that happened. I remember when I was there. That was the surroundings of all the things that were happening. Joshua is the one who is saying, hey, I need the Spirit. I need encouragement. And God says, be strong and courageous. We saw two different times in the book of Deuteronomy where God is saying the same thing. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And so that is where our main text is from this morning. But before we get any further, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you that you show us how to be a leader through Joshua. Lord, we know I'm not a leader, but Lord, you have given each of us a flock to shepherd. You have given each of us friends and family members that we are to shepherd the flock that is in front of us. Lord, the question is not whether we are called to lead, it is how we will lead. No, we're not leading a church, we're not leading Lord, but you have called us to lead families and our workplaces and businesses and anywhere we find ourselves, we have a sphere of influence. And so, Lord, as we look at the way that you showed Joshua how to lead, Lord, we pray that you would show us how we should lead. Lord, we also are thankful that you show us when Joshua didn't lead well and the times that he had shortcomings. Lord, we have shortcomings. Sometimes we get ahead of you, we get behind you. And Lord, we thank you that you keep pushing us forward. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that Joshua is a picture. Despite all of his shortcomings, Lord, he is a picture of the ultimate Yeshua, Jesus, the one who is our refuge. Lord, we pray as we come to your word this morning, you get me out of the way. Lord, I know we're going through a lot of material and battles and all sorts of stuff, but Lord, it is my prayer that it all makes sense and so that we can go, wow, look what you do in each of the battles of our life. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. I heard a little joke this week. There's Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Do you know what woman in the Bible had the smallest house? Rahab. She lived in a hole in a wall. Her home was in the city of the... All right. Okay. Let's let's take a look at Joshua 1, and we're going to see our first picture here. And I just want to take a look at Joshua. Look at that expression on his face. Joshua has no idea, like, how am I going to do this? I have got some enormous sandals to fill, but what are we seeing in Joshua's hands? He has the book of the law, and he has his sword. God is going to help him and the Israelites to vanquish all of their foes. No weapon formed against them is going to stand if only he does not depart from the book of the law, not right or to the left, or he's going to meditate on it day and night, and then he will be successful in all the places that he will go. But I love that expression on his face. Let's read Joshua 1, 2, and following. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, two phases, across the Jordan and into the land. First, across the Jordan. Second, into the land. And he gives him some encouragement. I promise you. This is God saying, I promise you. It is so good to stand on God's promises, especially when we look through the pages of Scripture and it is as though God is looking us face to face and he says, I promise you. What I promised Moses. This is not Moses' promise. This is Joshua's promise. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is what I promised him. But now it's your promise. Now you get to own this. Moses led them to the promised land. That era is over. Now we're moving into the promised land. And I love that word with. With is an all-encompassing word. I'm going to work around you. I'm going to do things you can't do. I'm going to make everybody absolutely terrified of you guys when they hear what I have done 40 years ago. When Rahab is talking to the spies, she said, oh, when we heard that God opened the Red Sea and what he did to Egypt... Really? You guys are still scared of what God did 40 years ago, and that fear is still in your heart? Here's the thing. When God is on our side, we have nothing to be afraid of. When God is not on our side, we have everything to be afraid of. I was with Moses. I will be with you. Wherever you set your foot, this is the land that I will give you. We're moving on here. So as we're looking at this leader, God's leader, here are a few things we want to take note of. Here's a few bullet points. Recognizing the fact that we have been called. We have been called. We each have a calling. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation. We are disciple makers. And yet we lead from revelation and not just calling. We talked about that last week. We're getting our revelation from God, giving us direction and instruction about how he wants us to lead. And the only way that we do this is to continually abide in the presence of God through the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that all God tells us to do. And this is what he says. If you do this, if you meditate on my law, if you linger in my presence like you have all of this time before, things are going to go well. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to have to strap on your sword. You might have to spin 7 times in circles. You may have to do all sorts of different things. You're going to have to step in the water. These are all the things you're going to have to do, but if you abide in my presence, consult me in everything, leaning not in your own understanding, you will have success and you will prosper. Let's talk about those ideas of success and prosperity. We think success is meeting the expectation. Look at me, I'm a success. Look at all the things that I've achieved. That is not what God calls success. God calls success when we linger in his presence, when we let him work through us, when we are an instrument of his will, and we are accomplishing the things that he has put for us to do. What is prosperity? This is not being able to have the giant nest egg or buy the boat or buy all the, these are wonderful things, but prosperity is knowing that I have a rich relationship with my Savior. Knowing that when I speak to him, he listens. When he speaks, I listen, and I know that I feel close to him. Even the times where I don't feel close to him, I know I am close to him because I am taking care of the sin in my life. We're gonna look at that with Jericho. But to abide in his presence, verse 5 of chapter 1, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. I love that promise. Neither will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm going to be with you. So, if this is the promise, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for no one, for you are the one to lead these people. You see, the conquest of Canaan is not Joshua's venture. This is God keeping his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is God saying, this is my promise to you. This is not Joshua saying, hey, we're gonna go do this and God's gonna help us. The best leaders are the ones who know how to be a good follower. Joshua has known how to be a good follower. He followed in the sandals of Moses. Now he's finding who Moses was following. Now Moses is out of the way. Now he is following God. Verse 7 of chapter 1. Be strong and very courageous. If you underline things, if you got a pen, this is very good. Be careful. That's the first part. Be careful to what? To obey all of the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in whatever you do. We looked at what success was. Verse 8, study the book of the law. If you have a pen, underline, study this book of the law. Continue to meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And then he tells him once again, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is kind of this is where we want to hang out. This is what we want to exposit. Because out of this bleeds everything else. Strength and courage can only come from God. We are not courageous because we feel brave. We are courageous when we believe God is moving and we move in spite of fear. The fear that says, what will they say? The fear that says, you can't do that. The fear that says, this is impossible. The fear that comes in. There is good fear. There's the outside fear. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, it says, hey, probably not a good idea to go bungee jumping. It might, you know, there's good fear. But when the fear gets inside, this is what he's talking about. It says, be strong and courageous. We walk by faith, not by sight. I love this. He says, be careful. We must take great care to obey what God has communicated through his word, through the Holy Spirit. We look at it. Okay, I wanna do this the right way. Lord, show me the steps that I need to do. Do not deviate. There are no side quests to God's will. There's no side quest to following God. I'm doing this, but I got a little sidetracked and I accomplished this for a little while and I'm getting back. No, this is, Lord, what do you have? What is the steps? What do you want me to do? How am I going to do it? And we are in constant conversation with God. Do not deviate. Do not turn from the right or to the left. We're gonna define the right or the left as legalism and lawlessness. To the one side is legalism, and we make a religion and religiosity all about, well, I'm following God, but now I have to, and if I don't, boy, there is all the, and there's judgment. God says, no, follow me. Keep your eyes on me. I love Joshua's eyes. He could be looking to the right or to the left. He could be saying, that's a dispute. That's a battle. There's a town over there. He is keeping his eyes directly on God. Then there is, along with legalism, is ultra-religious. It is self-righteousness. But then there's lawlessness. That's from the right to the left. There's lawlessness here. And that is doing what our own sinful heart wants to do, tolerating sin in our life. Well, I'm kind of doing it God's way, but it's not to the right, not to the left. Study the word. Be a student of God's word. Read it. Be in it. Pour over it. Know it. Be well versed in it. Engage with it daily. Meditate on it. This is the note I have here. Think about it. Ponder it. Mull it over in your mind. Try to commit certain verses to memory. Memorize it. Pray about what you've read. Ask God to help you understand and apply what you've read and what he's revealed to you concerning all that you have read. Use these words themselves, especially when the ladies are going to be doing the Psalms. Use the words of the Psalms as your prayer. Meditate on it day and night. Start your day. Lord, I'm going to need your help today. There's an old saying where the guy goes, Lord, I've had a pretty good day so far. I haven't used bad language. I haven't lied. I haven't, thought unholy thoughts and this and this. But God, I'm going to be getting out of bed now, so I'm going to need a whole lot of help. Before the feet hit the ground, let our knees hit the throne, saying, God, I need your help today. And then as we retire, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness today. Meditating on it day and night. Do not give in to terror. When we are apprehensive to do something because of what others might say, we are controlled by fear. When fear tells us what we can and can't do, we are limited by fear. When fear tells us what is possible and impossible, we are dictated by fear. And when we are tempted to disobey God, we are enslaved to fear. Let's move now to verse 10. We're moving a little bit. We're definitely going to, pick up some speed here, but we want to linger in this spot. And Joshua commanded the officers. He says this. God says, all right, it's time to go. And we can go to our next picture here. They are at the foot of the Jordan River, and he says this, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over. 3 days, huh? Do you remember when Moses was talking to the people, and he tells Moses, he says, consecrate the people today and tomorrow, because on the third day, I'm going to come in their midst, they're going to see me, I'm going to give them my law. This is on the third day. Prepare them. And this doesn't just mean, all right, guys, we're packing up, we're going to move. No, this is a consecration. This is prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts. They have come up to the Jordan before. Because he says, follow the priest, follow the ark, follow the presence of God, because you have not come this way before. The application point for us is this, that when we are stepping in new territory, we say, God, you go first. I heard an old saying that says, when Satan knocks at the door, you say, Jesus, will you answer? We haven't gone this way before. We haven't crossed the Jordan. We don't even know how we're going to cross the Jordan. But what we need is to consecrate ourselves, to do a self-evaluation. Lord, reign in me. What do I have to confess? What do I have to repent? What kind of things do I need to completely get rid of so that I can take the next step? You lead, I'll follow. But I can't follow unless I'm in a spiritual spot to be able to follow. Lord, open up my heart. Take the things out so that I can hear you, see you, so that when you go to the right or to the left, then I'll follow you in these directions. I don't want to go to the right or the left. I want to go where you want me to go. We're going now to chapter 2. And we'll go to our next picture here. Joshua has sent out some spies. Joshua's a military man. God doesn't rewire who we are. He uses us the way we are. Joshua's a former spy. Joshua Bond or something like that. But he's sending out spies. And I love what Rahab says. She says this, "I know the Lord God has given you the land." She says, "We heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. And as soon as we heard it," this is beginning in verse 8, I'm kind of picking out some verses here. Verse 11, "As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven." So as these spies go in, these spies are saying, wow, we're hearing really good things. And here is the report that comes back. Verse 14, "And the men said to her, 'When the Lord gives us this land,'" you're right. You recognize God is powerful. You recognize this is God's land to give us. We are going to take it. "But as the Lord lives, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Here is their report in Joshua 2:24, says this, "And they said to Joshua, 'Truly the Lord has given this land into our hands, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us.'" Here's the thing. Godly leadership breeds godly followers. Disciple makers breed disciples in the way that we live and act. He picked some really good spies. Those spies were like Joshua. Those spies had the same mind and spirit as Joshua. And when they come back, they're going, "Wow, look how great God is." Think about when Jesus had his disciples, the 72, they go out and they come back and they say, "Whoa, look at this. We're doing miracles and even the demons submit to us in your name." And he says, "Yeah, that's great. But think about this. The important part is that your names are written in heaven." That's the important part, is that your names are here. And so he's saying, "This is great. We're going to go in." Let's move on here to chapter 3, verse 5. "Then Joshua told the people, 'Purify, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great works among you. Lift up the Ark of the Covenant, lead the people across the river.' And so the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan, take a few steps and stop there. God's going to back up the water and he's going to show his mightiness." Here we are in chapter 5. You ever take a walk? You ever take a prayer walk? Joshua's on a walk here. Joshua knows that he's got a big task, and he takes a walk. He's looking at Jericho. No doubt he is praying, looking at these towering walls. He's looking at a fortified city. He's looking at these people are trained for battle. These guys are getting trained for battle. These guys are, you know, getting more and more lethal as they go on. But he's looking, and God, what are you going to do? Here's what it says, verse 13. "When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes." As a leader, as what Joshua's doing, what we are called to do, when we have a task, we lift up our eyes. "And he looked, and there he sees a man. And he says, 'Are for you us or for our adversaries?' And he says, 'I am for neither. I am the commander of the armies of the Lord.'" And this is how Joshua responds to God. This is God here. This is a pre-incarnate Jesus, because he worships him. He's not going to worship an angel. He falls on his face and worships. This is the kind of heart that God wants for his leaders. Is we seek God, and when God appears to us, whether it, you know, when we're fasting and praying, Katie and I were fasting and praying this week. I know you're not supposed to, but we were saying, "Lord, reveal an answer to us." And we felt we had the answer. We went, "Okay, God, thank you." He fell down and worshiped. The very best thing we can do is to seek God. Here, we'll take a look at our next picture here. This is what God called them to do. We're not going to talk about circling seven times or any of this kind of stuff. What I want to point out is the order of the parade. You know, usually have the fire trucks in the front and then the police guys in the back and, you know, the Macy's Day Parade, you know, the Santa Claus. This parade is the trumpeters in the front, the armed men next to them, and then the ark. But what happened was God wanted them to, the armed men, to pass by the ark before they took their spot. Listen to this. Worship precedes war. Bowing precedes battle. Praying before pursuit. Don't swing the sword before you've had a sweet word of prayer. And so the armed men, they're going before, you know, the Lord is proclaiming, here's the guys fighting, but they have first, if they are going to have victory in battle, they had to encounter God first. We're going to go to our next picture here. The destruction. Joshua says, don't take any of this stuff. Jericho represents the sin of the land. Jericho represents the wickedness of the land. He says, don't have anything to do with it. And as a matter of fact, once this city is completely destroyed, never build it up again. He says this, may this curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild this town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay down its foundation. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. And that actually will happen in 1 Kings. And it references this passage right here. Joshua says, don't resurrect evil in your life. Why would we build something up that God has torn down? He says, let it be leveled. And when everybody sees the ruins of this city, they're going to say, that is what God wants to do with our sin. Let's go to our next picture here. From the great victory in Jericho, we have a devastating defeat in the land of Ai. Not AI, but Ai. But they have a devastating defeat. There's a few things going on here. Achan, first of all, took some stuff. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of the dedicated things. No one's going to know. I'm hiding it under my tent. This is a secret sin. He took some of the stuff that God said, destroy it, kill it. Get rid of it. You don't need it. He was tempted. Not only was he tempted, he sinned by taking it. Then he brought the sin into the camp and it affected the camp. And God can't be where there is sin. There is separation and they have a devastating defeat. I love the picture here where the symbol of victory in battle is laid aside. Joshua's not holding on to the law anymore, not that he's walking around with a scroll in his hand, but it's a picture, it's a symbol that he is to meditate on it. He didn't consult God. That's the second thing. He didn't consult God. God, what should we do? He didn't go to battle. It says that when he heard that they had this defeat, meaning he didn't go to battle. Joshua says, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna trust the spies. I'm gonna think that, you know, I can just send the spies. God says he's gonna be with me every time. But here's the thing: God doesn't do things the same way twice. They're not circling around. This is a neat little thing where they set up an ambush, and God says, you have to listen to me. If you're gonna lead well, lead out of revelation, not just calling. He's leading out of calling. He didn't seek God. And this is what happens. I was asking people earlier this week, why do you think God let them take the spoils of Ai and not Jericho? Jericho is the symbol of sin that gets into our life. The spoils of Ai, this is just God's gift. God says, this land is yours. Don't take this. Don't take what you shouldn't have. Take what I give you. Boy, doesn't that sound like the garden? Don't take the fruit. Don't eat it. Don't take the stuff from Jericho. You can have everything else, all the spoils, all the gold, all the cattle and oxen that you want. Take all that. Take what I have given to you. Just don't take that. Joshua, in his lovely ignorance, is starting to whine before God. He says, why did you do this, God? You said that no one would be able to stand up against me all my life. This is what it says in chapter 7, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Verse 13, get up. There's sin in the camp. You can't have success if there's sin in the camp. So he says, consecrate the people. Verse 13, consecrate yourselves tomorrow. All right, now that you get the sin out of the way, now I can begin to work with you. I'm just going to read what I have here. Sin must be removed with utmost vigilance and merciless zeal. We're going to look at our next picture here. This is Achan. He stole the stuff. We see the blood and the scuff marks on from there. They're still licking their wounds from the battle. But sin not only affects Achan, it affected the soldiers, and it's going to affect his family. And if we think that this is very harsh, sin must be removed with utmost vigilance and merciless zeal. Sin must be called out, removed, destroyed, and repented of. It must be destroyed so that it cannot come back and infest our lives. Yet on most occasions, we do not destroy sin. I'm only reading this because then it sounds like I'm telling you this and that I'm, you know, that I've got some form of mastery over this. No, this is me too. More times than not, we just give sin a timeout. Naughty sin. No, no, no. We're not going to do you anymore. He says, we give it a timeout. We may call out the sin, repent of the sin, but yet without killing it, even those the things we have repented of, we can find ourselves unrepenting and going back to the same sins over and over, resurrecting Jericho in our life. It's got to go. The treasure has to go. Achan has to go. And anyone that Achan knows that could still have a heart of sin needs to go. What's the Achan of our life? What needs to go? What kind of things do we need to get rid of with vigilance and merciless zeal? And we're going to move to our next picture here. Joshua's a great leader, but Joshua needs to keep this law. That's not the law in his hands. That's a peace treaty. A peace treaty with some people that were really sneaky. It's interesting when Satan uses our own expertise against us. Joshua the spy was a victim of spies. Well, nobody's as good as a spy as I am. All of a sudden, these spies come in. They're dressed shabby. These are the Gibeonites. They are neighbors. They're the next place that needs to be destroyed. And they're like, oh, we've been a long ways away, and our bread is moldy, and look at all this stuff, and we're not a threat to you. How often does Satan come in and say, it's not a threat to you. Tolerate me in your life. I'm not going to do you any harm. And Joshua makes a treaty with them. Verse 14 of Joshua 9 says this, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them. You see, Jericho says, get the sin out of your life. Ai says, you got to consult the Lord if you're going to have victory. The Gibeonites is the sin that so easily entangles. Let's not fall for it. Let's go to our next picture here. This is all-out war. Joshua has finally learned his lesson, and chapters 10, 11, and 12, we see all the different types of people, and so the conquest is almost over. And so now, here, we come to our next picture. This is actually one of the ones that the hardest time with. This is the city of refuge. As Joshua is showing all the people, here's your plot of land, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, here's your stuff. And Moses told them, set up these cities of refuge. These are places, we talked about this in our Sunday school class because the story pointed us back this direction. If someone was accused of murder, they could run to a city of refuge where some of the Levites would be there. There'd be a priest, there'd be the high priest, and they could run from this person called the Avenger of Blood. This is a family member of the person who has died. And as the death penalty described in the scriptures, if a man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed. This is justice. And so if this person has accidentally, or is accused of murder, he can run to the city of refuge under the protection of these Levitical priests. And Joshua, as he's setting up the land, there's Joshua here. And we know that Joshua represents Yeshua, Jesus. Now we're going to take this whole idea and we're going to flip this into the gospel. You and I are accused of sin. You and I have sinned. You and I are guilty of sin. But God has provided a city of refuge that when the Avenger of Blood, the one who says, give me my rights, he's a sinner, she's a sinner. His blood belongs to me, her blood belongs to me. For the wages of sin is death. Give them over to me so that justice can be done. They belong to me. There is the real Yeshua, the real Joshua, who stands in between, says, no, they have come to me and my salvation for refuge. They have sought refuge in me. And the Avenger of Blood cannot come to us. Did you know that in Hebrews, first of all, it says that Jesus is our high priest who always lives to intercede for us. And that even though the accuser, the Avenger of Blood, is accusing us day and night, he lives to intercede for us. Godly leadership points to Jesus, points people to Jesus. Joshua, in his leadership, he has pointed people to Jesus in the way that he has consecrated them, how he has led them in their battles. He has pointed them to Jesus, especially in this implementation of the city of refuge. The question for us this morning is, have we come to the city of refuge? Let's go to our last and final picture here. Looks like Moses because he's old. Joshua has reached the point where he knows he's old. He knows the end is coming. And I want you to see how Joshua 1:9 and Joshua 23 are the bookends of Joshua's leadership. It starts off with, look what God has done. Be strong and courageous. Now I'm passing the torch. This is kind of apropos that we have, where there's some torch passing going on even within the life of our church. But he's saying, you know what? I'm old. I've done everything I could. I didn't do it perfect. God has been with us. He has been faithful. Here are the last words I want to give you. This is Joshua 23, beginning in verse 1. The years passed, time has passed. The people have settled in, they've built their houses, they've built their cities, they have their gardens and vineyards and their fields, and they are living in the land. The years passed, and the Lord had given all the people rest from their enemies. Joshua was now very old, and he called the people together, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel. He said to them, I am now very old. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done during my lifetime. Also sounds like Moses. You yourself have seen what I have done to the Egyptians and borne you on eagle's wings and drawn you to myself. It says, look at what God has done. A good leader always remembers where he came from. You have seen what the Lord your God has done during my lifetime. The Lord your God fought for you against your enemies. And here we go. This is where we go bookend to bookend. Verse 6. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in this book of the law, this book of instruction. The command that Joshua was given, he is now giving. Be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate. Boy, this sounds familiar. Do not deviate it, turning neither to the right or to the left. This is Joshua's life verse. I don't know, Joshua's life verse comes out of his own book. Joshua's life verse says, I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to deviate. He knows what it's like when he deviates to the right or to the left, when he doesn't go to battle, when he doesn't consult God, when he just does things that he thinks should happen. Don't deviate it to the right or to the left. And here he adds this. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the name of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done until now. In other words, don't resurrect Jericho. As a matter of fact, let's not talk about Jericho. Let's not talk about the gods of Jericho. Certainly, you know, we're not even going to mention their name. Oh, yeah, you're that god. You know, well, here's the, you know, all the mythology of the Canaanite gods. It's like, don't even mention their names. Focus on the name of the Lord. Do what he is telling you to do. Cling tightly to the Lord. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12, 9. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. This is the instruction. Now we're going to go to Joshua 24, verse 14. Be strong and courageous is the one verse we know. And we also know this other one. These are kind of the bookends. And when we think about Joshua, what kind of verses do you remember from Joshua? Be strong and courageous. And what's the other one? It is, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here is what it says. So, all comes down to this. Everything in the book comes down to the word so. In light of everything else, so. What's the so what? Here's the so what. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the gods, the idols of your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates. Apparently some of them still had some idols. Put them away forever. Don't just put them away in a drawer. Get rid of them with a merciless zeal. But if you refuse to serve the Lord and choose today who you will serve, would you prefer the gods of your ancestors? They didn't help you. They didn't conquer the land for you. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors who live beyond the Euphrates, or will be the gods of the Amorites? But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It all comes down to this. You have your house. You have everything you need. God has blessed you with all these things. I'm going away now. Now it's up to you guys. What are you going to do? Are you going to serve these gods and these idols? Or are you going to continually walk in the presence of God, doing what he has told us to do, meditating on his word, meditating on it day and night? That's the question. That's the challenge for us this morning. God has called us to be a leader. We've seen the rise of a leader leading, a leader learning, and now we have a leader leaving. How are we going to lead? That's the question. The one thing we need to do, do not let this book of the law, this word, this gospel to depart from our heart. Let it be the impetus for everything that we do. It's easier said than done. I know I've got six fingers pointed back at me. But let's do this. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for leaders like Joshua. Thank you that he wasn't a perfect leader, because then we could say, I could never do that. But Lord, he was a good leader. He's a leader who loved you. Lord, you have put us in places of leadership. Lord, for the person this morning that says leading, I'm the guy in the city of refuge. Lord, let us run to you in that city of refuge. We're guilty, just like Joshua. We're guilty. We didn't seek you. We didn't do what you asked us to do. We've fallen short, Jesus. Lord, we come to your refuge. Lord, stand between us and the avenger of blood. Let us experience your salvation. Let us be built up so that we can lead others to the city of refuge. Lord, we thank you so much for that city of refuge, and you are our refuge. If there's anyone here this morning that says, I need that city of refuge, let us do that now. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.